Yama, my name's Caspers. I'm a proud Kamilaroi Maori from Gunnedah. I identify as non-binary person with a physical disability and neurodivergent. Right now, I'm on Wangal Land in Sydney. I was diagnosed very early with ADHD and autism level one later on in life. At the age of 24, I was involved in a motorbike accident that left me permanently disabled. And it took me many years to recover physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it took me about a year and a half to learn how to walk again.
Thank you so much for that, Cass, for being so personal and so generous in your approach answering that. Thank you so much. Can you tell us a bit about your work, please, Cass?
No worries. So in my spare time, I'm a director on the board for Black Aboriginal Corporation. Black Aboriginal Corporation is an Aboriginal community controlled organization that came about when some of our queer elders and people in community realized that we needed more support, encouragement, empower to celebrate queer blackness. And what we do is we aim to foster pathways to inform authentic representation within community. Black is dedicated to supporting and advocating for nationwide Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brother boys, sister girls, LGBTQI plus. I don't work for Black. I'm on the board for Black, but I write all their disability inclusion policies for events and stuff.
True deadly indeed. Thank you for sharing what you do with us for some of your work. Now, tell me, Cass, what inspired you to start advocating for LGBTQI plus mob?
I was inspired to go into advocacy as a non-binary queer person with physical disability and being neurodivergent, as I didn't see myself in a lot of representation and places. The complexity of all my intersectionalities and my identity, I was kind of made to feel like it was too much or too difficult, and that I had to choose which one was more important to cater to certain situations. You know, and I felt a little bit of shame asking for accommodations because of this, it was like I was struggling mentally and internally. But it wasn't until an amazing sister girl said to me, "Shame is a colonial construct which has been warped for First Nation peoples, and we know it as accountability. So if you don't ask and set a standard of inclusion, how will everyone else learn?" And I really, really did appreciate that because that sentence alone gave me the courage to speak up and to have a few uncomfortable conversations with people and, you know, open up conversations for other mob who are queer with disabilities, like with all their intersectionalities, like, "Hey, I've felt like this before," or "If they just did this, maybe I'd be more comfortable to interact in community and events."
Of course. And I'm wondering what kinds of spaces, Cass, are needed for mob who are queer and living with disabilities as well?
Well, I have to say there are a lot of amazing spaces for queer mob throughout Australia, like amazing events that are catering to queer mob. There are places where people with disabilities can go, but I've yet to find a place that will cater to both my physical disability or my neurodivergence. It's kind of like choosing, do I go to this place where, you know, there's no chairs on the floor and it's a big dance hall, or there's no chill out room if things get like, you know, overwhelming. And I think stuff like that is like people don't think, what if someone does want to be a part of this and be a part of the queer community and maybe just needs a seat every once in a while to take a rest or a chill out room? You know, I remember the days where like everyone would have a chill out room and I would just be like, this is great because sometimes I need a break to go and just like collect myself. Everything's a bit loud. I'm getting a little bit overwhelmed. But yeah, I'm finding now it's either one or the other, but it caters to the physical disabilities of people in the establishment, or it has some things in place to cater to, like, yeah, neurodivergence, like being overwhelmed and overstimulated and stuff like that. I think we need more places that cater to both.
Thanks, Cass. I'm wondering what it's been like working in this particular area. Has this changed things for you personally?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's made me feel less anxious and alone to now attend events and be able to like openly talk about how to support myself and, have the conversations of there might be some mob there that might need some accommodations. Maybe we should have that conversation and kind of see what we can do within the space to try and cater to everyone. I also think that it helped other queer mob with disabilities find their voice and navigate what suits them as well to make accommodations. And that's been really lovely that now sometimes I don't even have to be consulted because someone else has got the courage to kind of speak up and go, can we have this included in this event? That just makes me feel so good that people are already having conversations about it before the event's happening. It's part of like the safety conversation of do we have first aid? Where's the disability entrance? It's also like, do we have like a chill out tent or a sensory place and an event? Let's cater for everyone because we want the whole community there. And I think that's really, really lovely. There has been definitely more consultation to make adjustments to be inclusive of queer mob with disabilities. And I love the allyship that's coming with that as well. And I think that queer mob with disabilities need to be there from like the beginning of the conversation because some amendments may take a little bit longer to organize than others. And also just putting it out there to consult with as many queer mob with disabilities as possible, because we all have different requests. It's not like a blanket for all queer mob, what I'm putting forward, because I don't speak on behalf of all queer mob with disabilities.
Of course. Thanks so much, Cass, for that. And you're talking in one part there about community, about events. I'm wondering if we can talk about a mainstream event like Mardi Gras that happens in Sydney every year. It's a fabulous event, as we know. I'm wondering what your experience is like of this event.
Sydney World Pride Mardi Gras was the first time I ever felt seen and heard as non-binary Indigenous queer at an event. The yarns we had beforehand, and I have to really do a big shout out to Ginny Jane Smith at ACON, the Aboriginal Project. From the get-go, she was like, I want to empower mob, I want to know what I can do. She already consulted mob by the time I got there, but she obviously wanted to see, give my input as well, so we can do this in a culturally safe way. And out of those conversations, she set up like a safe person to accompany you on the march, which was so amazing. And also organizing, noise cancelling technology. And also like mobility equipment because we had a few of our elders who were like, I really want to go, but that's 2 kilometers of dancing. I'm not going to make it. So just making those adjustments to make sure the whole community was able to participate, it was amazing. And another thing that like I didn't think of and someone else suggested is instructions in pitches and riding. This just made everything so much less stressful. I was hardly anxious because I knew all these accommodations have been made. Because you have to remember, you're navigating thousands of people who are excited to see you, and they're screaming at you, and the music's loud, and they're throwing glitter at you. It is very sensory overwhelming. We did, well, Ginny did make so many accommodations for varying abilities with that march that she has also carried on into other projects as well. I could focus on just having a great time and being my authentic self because I had absolutely no worries about anything going wrong because I knew I had the support I needed.
And that's a beautiful thing. Thanks, Cass, for that. Now, asking for what you need to participate fully can be hard sometimes. What advice would you have for others, speaking from your own experiences, about asking for what you need to participate fully?
Yeah, you do have to have a certain degree of confidence and clear communication. And I know sometimes that's very, very hard. Sometimes I'm not able to communicate what I need in the moment because I'm so overwhelmed. It's something I'm working on, but I think that We're living in a society where things like disability and being queer are talked about a little bit more, so it's not such a taboo conversation to have in certain settings, even at work, obviously events. I don't think mentioning that you need adjustments anymore is seen as a, oh, that's too much trouble. It's like, okay, let's have the conversation to see what we can do. And sometimes, places and events, they can't cater to everything. But I do appreciate that when I'm communicating and I'm being heard, they try their best. And yeah, I think that's the best you can kind of ask for at this point in time until, yeah, it's more mainstream. Like asking someone if they want a cup of coffee is like, do you need anything to be feel safe and comfortable here?
Deadly. Thanks, Cass. Let's talk about self-care. We all need to do it as humans. What do you do to look after yourself?
I check in a lot. I listen to my body and ask what I'm feeling in the moment. I really like engaging in culture to calm myself down, whether it be painting or weaving. So I'm at work at the moment, and my managers and bosses know that for me to sit still, I've got to do a little bit of weaving to be able to participate and be present. I'm also very lucky I found my people too. I found my mob, and that they understand sometimes my responses don't reflect how I'm behaving. And that's so nice to like have friends that go, oh, okay, like we need to approach this from a different angle. I like really, yeah, being in community and hanging out with friends. But sometimes that can look like, oh, I need to have a one-on-one kind of interaction with a friend because a large group of people might be too much for me at that point in time. Or, yes, I'd love to see you, but are you able to come to my house? Because leaving the house right now might be a little bit overwhelming for me, and I might not be able to interact in a way that's fun. I'm quite notorious for asking to come over just to see people's pets. But my friends are like, hey, if that's what you need right now, that's great. Come on over, my pet loves you. I also have a really, really supportive family who, when I got my autism diagnosis and I was like, do I do this? Do I do that? Like, they were just like, yeah, but it's cute and it's quirky. And I was like, oh, it's actually signs of autism. So once that diagnosis happened, they really educated themselves and started making amendments to make me feel more comfortable. And yeah, the communicating and understanding was the key for me. So I guess that's how I look after myself.
Thanks so much. That's deadly and really good to hear as well that you do take that time to really care for yourself. It's so important. And your family works with you, which is so beautiful. And your mob, your community.
Yeah.
How would you like to see people like you and the people you work with represented in the media?
That's a great question. Because look, queer representation in the media has come a long way. We're seeing a lot more mob who identify as LGBTQI plus SB, but there's less queer non-binary people with disability, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander representation. Not to say that there isn't any non-binary representation. We've got Moju, who's a musician, and we've got Peaches Rosé, who's a performer. And disability-wise, we've got James Parr, who's like a mob model, and we've got Amanda Reid and Samantha Schmidt, who are Paralympians. So there are people out there representing media, but I don't see them kind of merging together. I'm yet to see a queer Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander non-binary person with a disability grace our screens yet. I do believe it can happen. And also, like, I think it would be good to see because we do experience a lot of discrimination and marginalization, but we also make new communities and take care of each other. And I think there's so much knowledge and information to learn from people who are all of these intersectionalities. Our perspective on lives and it's a completely different perspective that may be the key thing missing from your business or your event or a storyline. Like that's a side quest, as I like to call, like a thought that's out there, maybe something that could be used to, I don't know, make something look beautiful and pretty and just different.
Thanks so much, Cass.